Hallelujah. What a blessing we've had so far today. You guys don't know how accurate elements in those prophecies were. Like 2 weeks ago, the Lord spoke to me and said he wanted me to pray more. And he said, don't do anything. Don't go downstairs till you go in and start praying. And so that your word, in the last 2 weeks, I've seen some things opening up that weren't opening before that prayer time started. And so, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is so good. Brother Oscar, I don't know if you even know this, but it will be 2 years ago in October. I had spoken a year before at a conference in South Carolina, and I hated that conference. It was so disorganized. The trip down, people rode with me, and my teeth were clenched the whole time. And I kept saying, Lord, why did you tell me to come here? Why did you? And Wade wasn't with me, and I always like him to go with me. And down there, I met a lady who came to me and said, there's a group of us ladies going to Europe next year. We need you. And I said, okay, Lord. Thanks for this wonderful trip. And we went to Europe the following year in October, and it was just awesome, awesome what the Lord did. And it was two Nigerian churches that had, the people had come over to different places in Europe, and they'd kind of gravitated together, and so hungry for Holy Spirit. And they understood what a lot of churches don't understand now. They understood the power, and they wanted more, more, more. And boy, the worship, oh, did all of every church get in. So this past year, one of the reasons we didn't contact you about coming over, we were so busy. And in, actually, I think it was October last year and September the year before, and the Lord blessed me. One by one, the ladies fell out of going, and so there was just me. And we had thought earlier in the year, I'd had a dream, and I thought, Lord, are you telling me Wade's not supposed to go? Because I thought, I don't want to go back unless he goes with me. And as people fell out, I said, Wade, we need to relook at that dream. And so it ended up, I went with my husband last year. And again, we went to, except for one church, we went to different places, one different country. And in that time, we were there for 14 days, and we had 12 services in that time. And 65 people were filled with Holy Spirit in that time. And the Lord spoke to me last night. I couldn't sleep. He was talking to me. And he said that today, some of you who have never had the evidence of speaking in tongues are going to be getting that evidence today. So after, Wade's going to do most of the talking, but after a while we're going to kind of have some chaos, and there are going to be some people, if you want to receive the gift or have that evidence of speaking in tongues, we're going to go someplace, and Wade's going to do some other stuff, and you're going to see that today. Also, the Lord showed me something during worship, and I don't see the lady. Where's the worship leader? Okay, you look different over there than you do over here. I love your worship. I started crying when it started. During worship, the Lord showed me that there is somebody here today who is, you're in a desperate state, so desperate that you've even thought, why don't you get a gun and end it all? And I'm not going to ask you to stand up if you want to for us to minister to you. That's okay. But I know sometimes there are things that are embarrassing, and Holy Spirit isn't about embarrassing anyone. But before you leave today, you need to find some of us to pray for you, because the Lord said he wants to change the structure of your life and things in your life, in your circumstances. Maybe in your body, things have made you desperate. But what the Lord spoke to me is today he wants to make your bones be fat. And so if you want to stand up now and you want ministry now, you come on down and I'm going to put some people around you and we'll pray now. But if you don't want to, just make sure you do not go out of this place, because there are people here who can hear from the Lord and who will love on you and just let you know a bit of the love of God. God's love is so unimaginable. He also showed me something yesterday, that somebody has an issue through this part of your body. If that's you, stand up. There's something in this part of your body that has an issue. But while I was sitting up here, he also told me that there's somebody that's physical that the Lord was showing me. But he also spoke to me and said that there's somebody who has at least one situation, but your bowels of compassion have shut up toward someone or something, and he wants to stir up those bowels of compassion in you toward this situation. Because when we lose that compassion, we lose that Christ-like character, because that's who he was. So I do want you to stand up now. If you have a physical issue here, or if you have, I'm going to call that a spiritual issue, that you need some compassion toward a situation in your life to be stirred up. You know, sometimes we're really easy when we look at other people's lives and say they need to do this and this and this. Yeah. We need to stop and say, Lord, what are you doing in me? What do you need to do in me? Because, see, he has a plan. He has a plan, but some things that are in us make us disqualified to go into that destiny. And one of those things is that lack of compassion, because he wants us to love those. You know, we know that it's easy to love some people, and some people are just so hard to love, aren't they? But those are the ones that he says, do it, do it. So anybody want to stand up about that bowels of compassion one? There are times that I have to do. Go ahead, Wade.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and receive it right now. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Don't you love it that he even cares how we care for other people?
Absolutely.
I love that, because there is nothing that's too insignificant or too unimportant for him. And what I love, too, is that Lamentations says every morning his mercies are new. It's not that 2,000 years ago he gave us mercy. It's not that he says, oh no, not you again. Haven't you ever learned your lesson? Every morning we get up and he says, there's my baby over there. Let me hear what she wants today. Let me see what his need is. Let me listen. I love his voice. Every morning his mercies are new. Doesn't that just thrill you? It thrills me. Every single morning he says, oh, what can I do good for you today? Every morning. Now, we don't deserve it. We're a lot of us, and I have to hold my hand up, are some of those unlikables. Sometimes I think, oh man, have I been nice to anybody today? But he sees that. He sees that ugly side of each of us, and he says, I love you. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, my job is to tell about our books, and we always love to talk about them because the Lord told us to, first of all. But I love that he gave us revelation, that he gave us ability, and I don't take credit for any ability because I read some of the books now. Wade's been teaching some of these things, and when I read it, I think, I don't even remember writing that because he gave the ability. Holy Spirit is a really good writer, I think. So the first book that I've already talked about before, I'm not going to take very long, but this is the first book he told me to write, and this revelation changed our lives. It changed a lot of people's lives.
It's short, nobody can see it, so I'll hold it up. There you go.
Oh. I guess I could put my shoes back on. I took those off during worship.
I'm taller, so that ain't
true. This book is dealing with Nehemiah 3, whereas Nehemiah rebuilds the walls, he also rebuilds the gates. And we get that. When we get it down in us that there are 10 gates, the first one is the sheep gate. All of us come in as sheep. And I'll tell you, most of us come in as sheep bad to the bone, too. But there are 10 gates. And the last one that we go through, well, it's an ongoing process, actually. But the last gate on that wall is the gate of Mifkad, which is our assignment. And some of us get saved, and we think, okay, Lord, I'm going to wait till I go to heaven. And he's got so many other things planned for us than we have planned for ourselves. But to get there, it's a process.
Yes.
So this is called God's Plan for Our Success, Nehemiah's Way. Is there anybody who's at the place in your walk right now that you're thinking, what's next, Lord? Is there anybody? Raise your hand. I saw this hand first, Wade. With the blue headband. I saw.
Oh, okay.
The second book.
I saw some movement there in the orange. I didn't know if that's what.
The second book is called Our Holy Spirit Arsenal. And even though these books weren't published in this order, before you get to the third book, you need to understand what's in the second book. Wade and I wrote this. The Lord sent us on journeys to teach about Holy Spirit, and we went around the country having workshops and conferences about Holy Spirit. And so we said, we'll just take those notes, and that book's going to just fall into place. Well, not. When you write with your spouse, it's like painting the bedroom, you know, that. But this book, I love what the Lord gave us, not just the 9 gifts, but also other things like integrity, that we have to understand when we use our gifts, if we don't have integrity, they're not right. So not just about the 9 gifts, but we give a lot of explanation, a lot of scriptures, and a lot of personal examples. I give way too many personal examples. But, you know, I was looking at Brother Eddie's picture out there, and I have to put him in the category of somebody who, as a child, I went to his services, and all of the gifts of the Spirit being in operation, it just became a natural thing. And so there are so many examples that we had to cut those out because we had just so many times that those gifts have worked for us. What I like too about this book, I don't know if a lot of you are dreamers, but the Lord told us to put a glossary for dreams and vision symbols in the back of the book, and we have a sign-up sheet out on the table. If you are interested maybe twice a year, I send out updates on that glossary. And there are so many updates from the Bible that I can use because those symbols are just, I'll come across them and think, wow, what a good symbol. I could see somebody dreaming that. So we have a lot of changes already from the time that was published. Make sure you sign up. We also send out newsletters every other month if you would like to receive that. It's not just telling what's going on in the ministry, but it's also, we write articles and give prayer requests, praise reports, things like that. So if you're interested, make sure you sign up on that table out there. Is there anybody who is at the place now where you need to know more about the Holy Spirit? You need to. Okay, the first hand I saw. Oh, you already bought it, okay. Oh yeah, I knew. Okay, who hasn't bought it yet? Okay, now the orange one. Now the third book, I'm not going to have Wade stand up and hold this up because the Lord told me during the night, I was just going to tell you about that, but he told me I needed to say something because at least three of you need to hear this today. And one of the stories, the Lord told me while we had already started the Holy Spirit book, he said, I want you to write about how Elijah's life demonstrates how we have our own prophetic walk. And when I say prophetic, I mean all of the gifts in that prophetic realm where we use them. And so I started writing this. It was just a labor of love. I fell in love with Elijah during the writing of this book. And every time I read something again about him or hear about him, my heart just leaps because he is such a great example of how we should take the limits off of God ourselves. We have God in a little box that Elijah didn't think about. But the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago and told me to get a sermon ready. And I'm not going to preach a sermon. I'm just going to tell you what he said to say. But he told me to do one that says, when he says go. And some of you are at the place where the Lord is saying go to you. Wade and I have been at that place multiple times. Right now, we just got back from the West, and the Lord is saying go to us. And so we're looking to see where he wants us to go. But Elijah was told go a whole bunch of times. And one time when he went to Cherith, and we know at Cherith he was there. It was a 3.5-year drought. Now, does that speak to any of you right now? Have you been in a long drought? Well, see, Elijah not only spoke that drought into existence, but he had to be there for the drought too. But he didn't let that drought overtake him and keep him from growing. He grew. But the first time, the Lord had to put him into a solitary season, 6 months, and his only companions were birds. And those birds were put there to provide for what he needed. But you know, some of us, we go into a situation and then we get awfully comfortable in our Cheriths. And sometimes we go ahead and make a Cherith church because we think, oh, this has worked pretty well, when the Lord has said it's time for you to move on. And so, see, the Lord said, get thee to Zarephath. Now that phrase, get thee to Zarephath, is yala. And it has a lot of definitions, but one of those is grow, lead, prosper, spread. Now, does that speak to you like it does to me? We need to leave our Cherith situations. Now, Cherith did something because by the time Elijah got over to Zarephath, he knew about how to listen to the Lord. He knew about translations. He knew about resurrection from the dead. But see, the Lord, during that season, the word Cherith means cutting. And maybe in your Cherith season, there's stuff in there that needs to be cut out. But then when he said, go on to Zarephath, Zarephath had some new challenges. But Elijah took in the bread at Cherith because he needed to give bread at Zarephath, didn't he? So he already, the Lord had seen that in advance. When he went to Zarephath, the Lord had something to do in him too. Zarephath means many things, but one of those definitions that I love is ambush of the mouth. Now, how many of you need a little Zarephath season to get rid of that mouth that ambushes you? I should raise up both of my hands. Maybe you are in your drought, because how can the Lord entrust his treasures to you when words of fear instead of faith come out of your mouth? When words of gossip come out of your mouth? When negativity, and you know, sometimes just plain old bad words. We went to a church, a biker church one time, and they said, okay, let's get out the cuss bucket. And so they got out this big 5-gallon bucket, and they lined up back at the door and started coming down to put their money in, because if you cussed that week, you had to put money in. Now, maybe we're beyond that part of the mouth lesson, but what if Brother Oscar got out the gossip bucket, the negativity bucket? See, there are things that need to be cleaned up from all of us, and droughts do what plenty doesn't do in our lives. So the Lord said, go to Zarephath. Now see, sometimes when we get ready to go on to our next assignment, we get kind of attached to those things. Last 2 years ago, these two alley cats showed up in our yard, this male cat and this female cat who had two kittens. Well, the next year, the female cat had three other kittens in our backyard on our deck. Well, come to find out, the male cat was really a female. She had four cats in our garage. We ended up with nine cats in our backyard. And so I knew we had to get rid of, well, he really knew more than I did, that we needed to get rid of those cats. So finally, when they were old enough, I put it on Facebook, and the first taker came. And you know, I got teary-eyed, because I was getting rid of some dumb cats that had wandered into the yard. I had named them, you know. And the Lord spoke to me. I mean, every time one of them would leave, I would kind of grieve and think, oh, are they going to take care of them? That one's so cute. And the Lord said, if you are grieving over alley cats that you got to get those nine out of your yard, what about when I say, you're never going to get to live beside your new granddaughter. You're never going to have neighbors who are your brothers or other siblings. What if the Lord asks you to do something hard? The Lord said to me last night when I was thinking about this, that some of you are at that place where he's telling you to go, but you're starting to grieve over your cats like I did. You're starting to say, Lord, I love this house. I love this brook and those birds that are bringing me food. See, first of all, we have to be willing to be like Abraham. When the Lord says, go do something that goes against everything. You waited all of those years for that boy, but I want you to go sacrifice. And Abraham's response, the next morning he got up and saddled his donkeys and took off. See, we grieve over things that we shouldn't be grieving over. But the last thing I want to say before I turn it over to Wade is, when he says go, he has a Zarephath for you. When he says go, your obedience will determine what happens in that next season, because there's a reason for that season. Maybe that next season is your destiny, or maybe it's just one of the steps on the way. But the Lord said, there are at least three of you today who needed to hear that when he says go, it's obedience, and it's immediate, and it's unquestioning. It's just going, no matter how little it is, it's going. And okay. I didn't even have to say anything. I got a hand back in the back. Okay. We are so glad to be here. I'm going to turn it over to Wade. I appreciate that gift of those words that you gave us, because there are so many things that it spoke to in me. So praise the Lord.